स्टूडेंट्स को मैं एक बता दूं कि ये जो चैप्टर है और ये जो लेसन है, व्हाट इज सोशियोलॉजी, कैन सोशियोलॉजी बी कॉल्ड अ साइंटिफिक डिसिप्लिन, और हाउ सोशियोलॉजी हैज डेवलप्ड इन अ सिस्टमैटिक मैनर, दिस एस्पेक्ट is dealt or this section is dealt first by the first years elementary. Then as you grow in your subject, that is in your learning, you realize that this is something which is very, very important. It's always been debated and debatable. So I'll first begin with the question that what exactly is sociology? Now sociology, the study of society. Sociology is made up of two terms, society, S-O-C-I-O, socio, which means society, and logos, which means the study at a higher level. In other words, society deals with human interaction, human relationships. It deals with how an individual becomes a part of the society. When we talk about society, we all understand the society is a network of individuals. So thus, we say that sociology studies this network. In other words, what I would like to say is that so the birth of sociology is not accident. It is something which has developed systematically and over a period of time. But officially, we say that it started around 1830s. Now, students, you remember what is 1830s quite famous for or known in the history? Yes, it is known for a lot of changes, and one big change is the starting of Industrial Revolution. Around 1830s, what had happened was in the society, there was a shift from rural areas to urban areas. That is, a lot of people left agriculture and came to the big cities to take up jobs, to take up industrial work. And what had happened was the manufacturing was done with the help of the machines. As a result, we see that the labor was replaced by machines. Now, when labor is replaced by machine, obviously what happens is the one work which was done by 10 people earlier, now it can be done by one person. As a result, we see that there was a lot of unemployment. Unemployment caused poverty. It caused malnutrition. There was an increase of crime. When people shifted from rural areas to the cities developed unexpectedly. There was a huge process of urbanization. As a result, we see that there were a lot of chaos in the society. Chaos in the sense that, people were not able to cope up with these changes and fast changes. As a result, some theorists or some thinkers came forward and said that what we need is to study the society systematically. So they came across, or rather we can say they came forward and then said that we need to understand society systematically, and then the subject matter of sociology started getting evolved. One of the first thinkers who came forward was Auguste Comte. Auguste Comte was a French sociologist, and in France, of course, there was a direct implication of Industrial Revolution. Around the same time, there was a French Revolution, that is, it led people to think about their rights. We all know what is French Revolution taught us. French Revolution taught us the questions of freedom, equality, and liberty. Now, these aspects changed the thinking process of man, and now man started thinking rationally. He started questioning his rights. He started looking around himself. Therefore, the important point is that the effect of French Revolution made people come forward and understand the chaos which was around them. Around the same time, there was scientific development. Scientific revolution took place. There was commercialization, the shift from the economy, from the barter system to capitalism, the ideologies of the market was expanding. All these things led to the emergence of a subject matter called sociology. As I said, that Auguste Comte was first who said that, one can study society systematically and scientifically. In science, we have various laws. laws of gravity, laws of Newton, all that. He says that, you know, the same kind of laws can be applied to study human society. However, one thing is very important that we must understand is that sociology is not called a natural science, or it cannot be a science the way we look at the other sciences, which are experimental, which can be observed. Sociology is a scientific discipline in the sense that it can be empirical, it can be observed, but however, we cannot experiment, mainly because we are dealing with human beings and we are studying human beings, human aspects. So therefore, sociology is a science in the sense that it is a systematic study, but it is different from the natural science, and that's why it is called as a social science. Now, coming back to the laws which Auguste Comte said that it can be applied to the study of society, he said that society is not static, it is dynamic and it changes. So therefore, what happens is there are laws which can be applied and society shift from one stage to another stage, that is from theological to metaphysical to positive. And these are the laws, that is the laws of movement, the laws of intellectual development of mankind. That is, as man becomes more and more rational, he starts dealing with things in a more rational and a positive manner. That's how we understand the society. Now, what is theological? Theological is something which is very abstract. Then you go to a little stage where you started identify things to objects, and then you come to a stage where you start rationalizing or reasoning out everything. Now, this is the way in which the society moves in a very systematic manner. And the last stage is positives, or the positivism, which is very, very important, and which is to say that, you know, everything has a reason, and that's where his school of positivism also, we can say, started developing. Now, the ideas of Auguste Comte was taken or adopted by the other social scientists as well. Around the same time, we have a social scientist called Herbert Spencer, who said that society can be studied systematically by actually adopting or understanding the theory of Darwinism, that is a theory of evolution. When society or any aspect gets evolved from simple to complex, from one stage to another stage. And Herbert Spencer also gave a theory of survival of the fittest, where he said that in a society, everybody competes with each other, and whoever is able to become successful or able to move forward is the one who survives. The way in which we study the Darwin's theory. So therefore, the theory of evolution which we study in biology or in the natural sciences, we also see that we can be applied to sociology. That's why, again, I would say the sociology can be called a scientific discipline. Then a little further, that is a little later, around say 1840s onwards, there was a very eminent, or you can say a classical sociology, who formally started writing or talking about the subject matter of sociology. And according to him, sociology is the study of social facts. He said that sociology can be a science if you study the subject matter of sociology as social facts. What are social facts? Now, social facts are those which are outside an individual. That is, they are outside the conscious, and one which controls us, and something which are universally applicable, seen all over. So therefore, what we would say is that sociology is a social fact, and therefore whatever we study in the society is can be studied or should be studied as social facts. Now, very important is that Durkheim is considered to be a classical sociologist in a true sense, mainly because he studies the relationship between individual and society, that is how an individual becomes a part of the society. And for him, society is sui generis, that is, society is very, very important, and it is the society which is more important, and it's like God. So worshipping a society means worshipping the God. Mainly because he says that the society or the study of society should be holistic. There should be a whole understanding of the society. And society is something which controls us. We are just atoms who are a part of the society. So what he says is that there are three main characteristics of social facts, as I mentioned. And if you look at any example, and the example which he gave was, or rather he wrote number of books, and one of the most important or eminent book is Rules of Sociological Methods, where he said very clearly that any aspect, any institution of the society is something which is existing and it's there, and we are just atoms who are a part of it. However, he also sees a two-way relationships. That is, one, the society is there, it is existing, and after all, it is only through the individual that the society exists. However, if you look at the example of religion, where he wrote extensively in his book in the forms of religious methods, and he said that religion, what is religion? Religion is a set of beliefs and practices which are associative things which are differentiated as sacred and profane. A set of rules and regulations which actually bind people together in order to preserve a belief or a practice. Where what happens is every aspect is divided into sacred and profane, and it is not that an object is sacred or profane, it is the way in which we look at those that it becomes a sacred or profane. So therefore, according to Durkheim, he started a school which is also referred to as a functionalist school, and he was the first one, or rather among first few, who started developing the subject matter in a very systematic and a scientific manner. He wrote number of books. He said that everything we do is for the society, and every aspect of the institution is society, and what is very important is the society. Individuals are just a part of it. So much so that in his very classical writings, Suicide, he said suicide, which normally people tend to see it as an individual act or a psychological act, is not an individual or psychological act, but rather it is because of the society, the social fact. It should be seen as a social fact, mainly because a person commits suicide not because he is unhappy or he wants to commit, but he commits mainly because of the social forces. And he gives the three main types of suicides, that is egoistic, where a person, because he is develops too much of an ego that he sees himself very different from the society, that he commits suicide. Two, altruistic, that is he becomes so much part of the society that he cannot see himself away from the society, like a widow committing sati, or sometimes, you know, you get so much of pressurized with the social norms that you don't see yourself away, but you see only yourself as a part of the society. And third could be anomic suicide, which is normallessness. Sometimes what happens is sudden depression or a sudden increase in your richness or a sudden change in your societal norms or social practices or maybe sudden disturbances can cause suicide. So for example, we always keep hearing about farmers committing suicide. The farmers commit suicide not because, according to Durkheim or Durkheim's theory, because they are unhappy, but mainly because of the fact that the government has not been able to give them, or rather has not been able to give them a right support in their farming. So what we are trying to say is that according to Durkheim, nothing is an individual act, but everything is a social act. So thus, agar hum isko sab sum up karte hain, to abhi humne ye seekha hai ki sociology is or can be a scientific discipline. It is a systematic study of the society. Many sociologists have come forward to establish or to argue or to say debate or develop sociology as a scientific discipline, starting with Auguste Comte, who also founded a theory of positivism, Herbert Spencer, Emile Durkheim. Another very important sociology who also contributed for its growth is Max Weber, a German sociologist. Unlike Durkheim, who says the society is more important than the individual, Weber says that it is the individual and his social action which is more important and most important. According to him, sociology is the study of social action, that is, the interpretive action of an individual. That is how an actor interprets his action. And any action which the actor has or attaches a meaning and understands why he is doing, that becomes a social action. For example, if I go to a shop and before buying, I look around myself and see that how many more people are there and what are they buying. It means that I'm actually performing an action because I have attached a meaning, saying that I'm trying to compare that how many people are opting for what I'm also opting for. And he says that there, you know, while developing the methodology of sociology, he says there are two very, very important things. A, that is, you have an ideal type concept, that is, the methodology is that you have one ideal type, and two, social action. Now, what is ideal type? Ideal type is a scale of gradation. That is, what you do is that you develop a scale of evaluation. You say that what is an ideal thing, have the various points and see how closer to that reality you can come. For example, if you say that a good student is a 1A who attends classes regularly, who listens to the teacher, who obeys the teacher, who follows all the rules and regulations, who participates all the college activities, and who is very punctual and never takes leave as well. Now, all these characters, I think, is sometimes very difficult. So, what Weber says is that you ideally construct a concept and then you see that how closer to the reality you are. That way, what happens is you are able to develop a scale for measurement. This is one tool to understand society. Why? Mainly because at the end of the day, we all understand that society deals with human beings and no two individuals or human beings can be alike. So therefore, to study human beings in a very objective way becomes difficult, but we can come closer to objectivity and establish sociology as a scientific discipline. So Weber, a German sociologist, developed two ways of understanding, or rather say that the subject matter of sociology is social action, and develop two tools of methodology: one, ideal type; two, social action. Around the same time in Germany, a very radical one would say was Karl Marx, who also contributed to understanding of the society. Now, Karl Marx is not referred to as a sociologist in the true sense. He is referred to as an historian or economist, but he is very, very important mainly because his ideas and his theory gave a very clear picture about the social relations of at that time. So therefore, he becomes very, very important to study society, or rather his contribution becomes very, very important to understand the society. Now, what he said was that the society is divided into two structures, the infrastructure and the superstructure. The infrastructure can be seen as the infra. By the term, you can understand infra means the base on which the other things are actually there, which means that it is the foundation, the base on which the other aspects, and this base, this infrastructure refers to economic institutions. According to him, the economic institution are the basis or the foundation of any society. The other aspects of the society, such as social, cultural, economic, religious, are the part of the superstructure. This infrastructure, he says, is the foundation, and any change in the infrastructure leads to change in the superstructure. So, agar kohi bhi change hota hai in the economic aspect of the society, then it can lead to a change in the other aspects as well. Say, for example, the things have become very, very expensive. The houses in the urban area are become very, very small. As a result, what is happening is that, you know, people are either living in, nuclear family, or they refuse to take the burden or the expenses of the older people. So, you know, this could be one reason why, you know, things have become expensive. So, therefore, it is having the effect on the social institutions. Sometimes what happens is, in the economic crisis also leads you to depend on the religion like that. So what I'm trying to tell you is a change in the economic aspect according to Karl Marx leads to change in the other aspects. According to Karl Marx, it's an economic factor which governs all human beings. Because what is economic action or economic activity? Economic activity is production. According to Karl Marx, man is a producing animal. Man constantly strives with the nature. He constantly interacts with the nature in order to produce. And if he is able to produce, then only he finds satisfaction and he can continue to live. So therefore, the economic aspect is very, very important. Now, this infrastructure, he says, is divided into two classes. A class which owns the means of production, a class which does not own the means of production. And it is the conflict between these two classes which essentially governs the whole character of the society. Now, what happens is that Karl Marx had written his theory at the time when there was Industrial Revolution, at the time when society was fast, Germany, especially Germany, England, all these places were fast moving towards capitalism. What is capitalism? Capitalism is production for sale, production for profit. Capital, that is money. Money becomes very, very important. Where people individually interact with one another, speak with one another, and then, or whether we can say not speak exactly, but then interact with one another in order to move forward. That is, the market governs everything. Whatever you buy and sell, it is for profit. So much so that a laborer who works in the society sees himself only as a commodity to be bought and sold in the market. That is what is the ideology of capitalism. At this time, what was happening was that the labor was seen as a commodity which could be thrown in and out. He had no rights of his own. He would go to the factory, work as a commodity, would not get wages. Why? Mainly because one of the major things about capitalism is that those who own the means of production, they always produce for profit. And because their aim is for maximization of profit, they tend to develop certain kind of inhuman attitude, or they tend to develop certain kind of steps or practices which are harmful, mainly because to maximize the profit, they tend to give less wages to the workers. They do not give much good working conditions. As a result, the workers suffer and they feel very alienated. And they are always constantly trying to come together as a homogeneous group so that they can fight with the capitalists to overthrow. In other words, according to Marx, a capitalistic society which was fast moving or developing would eventually collapse. And why will it collapse? It will collapse mainly because the workers who are exploited, the workers would develop a consciousness of alienation, will all come together to overthrow the capitalists. Now, this kind of a revolutionary idea, that is, it is the conflict which is always there, and it is only the conflict would bring about a change, at that time was not accepted. But however, Karl Marx becomes very, very important because he came up with a very clear ideology to understand the society. Now, so therefore, what happened was that sociology like this developed, and then it moved very fast, and then it moved where people again contributed in development of certain theories such as functionalism, theories such as evolutionism, positivism, to make it more systematic and scientific. What is the functionalist theory to understand society? I hope, students, you are understanding what I'm saying. I just first said that what is sociology? Then I said that sociology can be called a science. Then I gave you the reference of certain thinkers who felt, or rather who developed the subject matter of sociology scientifically. Now what I'm seeing is that there were other many social theories which also developed around the same time to make sociology a very strong discipline and a systematic study of the society. And these theories or these perspectives can be seen very broadly. A, functionalist perspective. B, positivism. C, conflict theory. 4, phenomenology or ethnometrology. All these theories, social theories, are very, very important. Now, what is functional perspective? Functional perspective says or assumes that society can be seen as a human body. That is, comparing a society to a living organism. The way the living organism is divided into various parts, similarly, the society is also divided into various parts. The various parts of the society are various institutions, economic, political, social, cultural, and religious institutions. And the various parts, of course, we know where each part, the way the each part of the human body performs a function. Similarly, each institution in a society performs a function. The way in which one part is related to other part in order to make a holistic understanding of the human body. Similarly, in the society also, one institution, though it performs an independent function, but it is also interrelated to the other institution, other aspect of the society. For example, the economic institution, which performs a function of production, consumption, and distribution, it depends upon the social institutions for labor. Why? Mainly because it is the family which always produces and trains the individuals to become the labor for the society. So therefore, we can say that these two institutions are interdependent. Two, what happens is that every aspect has a role to perform. The way in which the human body, that is every part of the human body, has a function to perform. Similarly, every institution has a function to perform. It is independent, at the same time dependent, and gives a holistic understanding of the society. The main functionalists are Durkheim, Parsons, Robert K. Merton, who developed this theory, or rather adopted all these assumptions to explain their theory. Simultaneously, there is another theory which developed, which we discussed earlier also, positivism, which means reasoning, which means that everything has got a reason. Everything has got a cause and effect relationship. That is, something has happened in the society mainly because of certain things. There is a cause and there is an impact and effect. As simple as that you have a mobile phone in front of you. Use the mobile phones. It has got both the positive and it has got negative effect. And what you study is that how it is affecting the individuals. Society, the sociology studies the impact of it and comes to certain kind of a systematic understanding. So everything has got a reason. Then there is an evolutionary perspective, that is, it says that society, or rather the way in which the human body has evolves in various stages, society also evolves in various stages. That is, the way the living organism has a birth, then it grows, matures, and dies. In the society, what happens is the society, the various stages are, of course, society is born, anything is instituted or something comes up, then it grows, it matures, it does not die, but it can decay and gets replaced. That's how society keeps changing. And society is never static. It's dynamic. What is today, what we experience today, we may not be seeing it tomorrow. And what we see tomorrow may be not be able to see it further. So therefore, society always moves around. It can go in a circular way. That's why we always say that history repeats itself. It can go in a linear way. That is from one stage to another stage. And then it can go on repeating itself. Or it can go in a very zigzag. But then it keeps on changing. So that is a theory, or that is a perspective which called as evolutionary perspective. Then we have conflict perspective, as I said, that they try to say that society changes whenever there is a conflict. What is conflict? Conflict is when two people people come together, debate, or they try to eliminate or injure the other party in order to bring about a new aspect. Elections can also be seen as a conflict, example of conflict, because what happens is that here the elections are very positively seen, mainly because they try to reform the existing values, or rather they try to introduce a new one on top of it. So what happens is that conflict can be between two groups, it can be between a group and an individual, it can be between two individuals in terms of an ideology, in terms of a practice. Conflict, the theorist says, is very, very essential, because it is very difficult in a society to have everything as positive. Therefore, what becomes also important is to have conflicting relations or a conflicting aspect, that is a debating aspect or refuting, so that the society can change from one to another. So that's another perspective which is very, very important in the study of sociology, or rather it helps in the development of social theory or study subject matter of sociology. The other very important perspective is phenomenology. Phenomenology means everything having a phenomena or context. That is, you tend to understand a society or an institution or an aspect within a context, phenomena within a context. Like say, what is important in a North Indian society may be different from, or maybe not be applicable in the South, Southern society. There are many, many practices which are there in South or not there in the North. For example, the cross-cousin marriage. Cross-cousin marriage is when the children get married to this opposite siblings. That is, the daughter of sister's daughter gets married to brother's son. That's a cross-cousin marriage, which is very prevalent in South Indian, especially the upper caste of South. This kind of marriage practice is not there in the North. And if suppose somebody discusses or somebody explains this, they might say, oh, this is not right. No, that's very wrong. Why? Mainly because it's a part of the context. In South India, it has got its own reasons for developing that practice. The marriage as an institution is seen very different. Kinship terms, kinship terminology are seen in a very different way. So all these things lead to an understanding of society in a very, very different light or a different manner. So therefore, what I'm trying to say is that phenomenology becomes very, very important perspective in understanding the society. Around the same time, there was another perspective called ethnometrology. That is, you always tend to have certain symbols, certain methods in order to understand the social phenomena or the society. So all the practices which are there in the society, one can understand with the help of certain symbols. That is, there are symbols like language, religion, region, it could be caste, it could be as simple as your body language, the customs, etc. All these things become very, very important. There are the methods to understand social phenomena. So there are different perspectives to understand the subject matter of sociology. In the end, all I would like to say that sociology is a very, very rich subject, which has got many concepts to make it more understandable, or rather with the help of many concepts like culture, social structure, social stratification, you can have a better understanding of the society. To understand the society, there are very other important concepts which we will be listening to in next few chapters. That is, status and role, social organizations. All these concepts make the subject matter of sociology very rich and enriching.